Stop us if you've heard this before. If you tell contractors bidding on a big procurement you're going to use Plan X for evaluating prices, you better use Plan X. Otherwise, you could lose a protest. Well, that's what happened to the Navy in a $2.5 billion program. For more of what happened and the lessons learned in this week's Legal Loop, we turn to Washington procurement attorney Joe Petrillo. Joe, great to have you on. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so this is Navy and GAO and the whole classic situation. CGI is the contractor. What happened?
Well, yeah, CGI was actually the protester here, and the situation was that the Navy was trying to award multiple contracts, indefinite quantity contracts, under which it would issue orders to install computer networks in Navy ships. And so they put together a solicitation. It was fairly characteristic. It had technical factors, non-price factors and price factors. The non-price factors were significantly more important than price. They included things like technical approach, your capacity, your past performance, etc. And price was evaluated in kind of a peculiar way. The Navy wasn't entirely sure how many of these ships it would include in a single order. And, of course, the contractors would have to compete among each other, among themselves for those orders. And therefore, they asked for per-unit prices for each potential number of ships from 1 to 15, which they thought would be the largest order they would compete. So you'd have a per-unit price for one ship, two ships, three ships, four ships, etc. So they bid these 15 prices. And of course, like many of these multiple award vehicles, the price you bid is something that you can discount later on when you're competing for an order. So they're really not to exceed prices, not firm fixed prices. They went for it with the competition, and in the non-price factor area, CGI was evaluated as fourth out of seven and did pretty well, and the evaluation ended up right in the middle. However, its prices were evaluated as high, and when price and technical were combined, it dropped from fourth place to seventh place. So during the evaluation process, however, the Navy changed its procurement strategy. When they originally put the solicitation together, they were thinking that they'd have about 45 ships a year, and they'd hold three competitions. So they'd award roughly 15 ships with each order. So when they did the evaluation, they looked at the per-unit price for 15 ships and ignored the other 14 per-unit prices, just didn't pay any attention to them. When CGI didn't get award, they went ahead and protested. And that's not unusual in these situations, in that you get when you don't get one of these contracts, you're frozen out of that business for however many years the contract's in place. In this case, it would have been, I think, 4 years. So CGI brings a protest, and in the course of the protest, they learn that the Navy had changed its procurement strategy. They originally were going to have three awardees and three competitions a year, and instead they decided, well, let's award five contracts, and we'll have more competitions for fewer ships each year, so we have a greater level of competition between the five contractors. Well, it turns out that if you looked at CGI's price for, say, five ships per order, it's not to exceed prices were much more advantageous than those of other offerors comparatively, and it probably would have done much better in the evaluation. So GAO upheld the protest and sent this back to the Navy to reevaluate.
Wow. So, in other words, the Navy didn't look at the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 through 15 pricing, but it seemed to make the selection based on the 15 pricing, even though it was going to go back and do less than 15 in the actual task orders.
Right, right. And GAO said that there were two main principles here. One was that an agency can't use an evaluation technique that's misleading in itself, and they felt looking at the 15-unit price when you were actually going to order only five units was misleading. And secondly, they said that where there is a material change to these requirements, an agency needs to amend the solicitation and get another round of offers from the offerors, and presumably that's what has to happen here since they have changed their procurement strategy.
Well, did the Navy have to do another round? Couldn't it have been asked to do just another price evaluation since it already knew the unit price for the less than 15 quantities?
Well, perhaps, but usually GAO says that a change of that nature might have led the offerors to change their bidding strategy. So, that may not work out here. The other thing is, when does an agency know when it's crossed the line and has a change that would require going out for another round of offers? The situation here is fairly clear because GAO looked at the offers and saw that the facts would have led to a different result. So an agency has to be pretty careful when it changes its approach or when facts change to make sure that the offerors are not going to be influenced by that.
We're speaking with procurement attorney Joe Petrillo. And when does some of the types of procurements, like the lowest price technically acceptable versus best value, does any of that come into play here where maybe even though their price was higher, they were so much better on technical that the Navy would feel that they were still getting a better deal even at a higher price?
Well, this procurement seemed to combine both aspects. Here, technical was more important than price in awarding the contracts, but in the competitions for the orders, the Navy was intending to use the lowest price technically acceptable method. So price was going to be more important when orders were being competed. On the other hand, the prices that people were putting in their contracts were simply ceilings, and how low they would go would be determined later on.
It sounds like maybe what they should have done if they had seven bidders that were all decent is let them all on to the IDIQ and then just compete them each time around for purely on the basis of price.
Well, that's an interesting question because it raises or it opens up the issue of, are these vehicles worth the time and effort that go into them? This procurement had started in May of 2013, and awards were made in August of 2014. So it's been going on for quite some time. And that's not unusual in these large multiple award procurements. They're very difficult to analyze because there are a lot of bidders, a lot of factors. And I've seen them go on for much longer than that, actually. The question here is, is all the effort put into that worth what you get at the end, which is the ability to limit the number of competitors on the specific offerors to the contractors who you've awarded contracts to. And, of course, in these procurements, they do tend to draw protests because, as I mentioned, if you don't get one of the contracts, you're pretty much frozen out of this business for the next 4 or 5 years.
And, of course, the work being done has a long life cycle because if you're putting the Canes contract, the Canes deal, the Navy's going to put those networks on the ships, and those are going to be running maybe for the next 10 or 15 years on those ships.
Entirely possible, right. And so the prospects for follow-on work are very significant there.
All right. And I wanted to also ask you about the idea of GAO's holding on unbalanced pricing comes into play. What is their holding and what is unbalanced pricing?
Well, the way GAO interprets unbalanced pricing, some statements of the phenomenon, it's where one price is significantly overstated, another price is significantly understated. In analyzing it here, they say, well, we only look at unbalanced pricing when some prices are significantly overstated. But what they're ignoring, especially in a multiple award IDIQ contract where there might be a lot of line items, is there's a temptation for offerors to bid unrealistically low prices on some line items, especially if they're labor categories that the offeror can then simply not propose when it submits proposals for individual orders. So there's a way to game those to make your proposal look lower in price than it really is going to be. when you get the contract, and GAO simply keeps ignoring that possibility. It may not have been a factor here, but the way they've posed the question leaves that method available, I think, for gaming.
It almost sounds like the way Ford used to price the Mustang when it first came out. They had a list price of, you know, whatever it was, $2,000, but everyone that came to the dealers was all loaded up, so it was twice that much.
Well, that's not unusual, and I guess that technique continues to be useful.
All right. Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with the Washington firm of Petrillo and Powell. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.